time to prepare your hearts and minds for worship. Among us today, we want to offer a word of special welcome to you and invite you to complete that yellow communication card that's in your worship folder. There is a welcome center just outside the door to the right here that if you want to check in there afterwards, we'll offer a more personal greeting to you. Want to note that there's a correction in your worship folder in the middle section. If your household in any way is involved in children's ministries here, the Adventure Club listed there for today, that's a mistake. That should not be in there. There is an event next week, a Thanksgiving gathering meal, but there's no activity today with Adventure Club, so we want to note that. As we gather this day, let us lift our voices to God. I invite you to stand as able as we worship the Lord.
Stories of what they think your life, but I've heard the understand that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. So undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Who I am.
Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift up your name this morning. As we gather in worship, we call you holy, righteous, Lord of all, Father of the Most High, El Shaddai. Father, you have so many names that have been attributed to you over time, but we know you as the one true God. And we just thank you this morning for calling us your children. So, Father, as we worship together this morning, as we lift our hearts up, as we just offer up the very best that we have for you and give you the first fruits, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, for your presence in our lives, and for the love that you have for each and every one of us. Such love that would die on a cross, that we could be with you for all eternity. Father, we thank you for this gift and for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. And as we sing your praises this morning, we just pray that they would be sweet blessings upon your ears. From our lips to your ears. We thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And move into our time of prayer. We do have a blanket on the kneeler this morning, and that's for Maria upon the death of her father. So we just invite you to come on up and pray over that during the singing of the prayer chorus. And of course, bring your prayer cards up. Place them on the altar. They will be prayed over this week. Let's go to them in prayer.
For every trial,
Father, your love has been so great that you have sent Jesus to us to save us, to redeem us, to be the pathway to lead us to be recreated in your image. But Lord, we understand that to be led, we have to be willing to follow. We have to make a decision that there is a wiser way than the ways of our own devising. We need to confess our need for you. We need to accept your saving power in our lives and say, Lord, I'm putting a stake down here right now for this to be the moment where I want you to be not only my Savior, but my Lord, to lead me. So Lord, let this be a morning of recommitment for those who have declare Jesus as Savior and Lord, and let this be a morning by the stirring of your Spirit that decisions would be made, that the stake would be put into the ground and say, on this day, in this moment, Lord, I need you to lead me. My own leading has just led to fumbling, my own ways of seeking to find fulfillment and assurance fall way too short. Lord, you say all we need is a yes back to you. We don't need fancy words. We don't need a specific order in prayer. We just need a spirit that says, Lord, come into my life. I need you. I want you to lead me. Lord, help your Spirit make that possible in first-time commitment or recommitment in this hour. and as we worship, Lord, increase our sensitivity in our minds and our hearts and our ears that we might know the nudge of your Spirit to lead us, the voice of your Spirit to correct us, the embrace of your presence to comfort us. We pray, Lord, for the world you came to redeem and the darkness that abounds in it. We pray for our sisters and brothers in Texas this morning. Had their time of worship and adoration of you shattered last week by rapid firing gun and destroying death. Lord, each week we hear headlines of how the world is discontented and angry and volatile. We wonder when it will end, how it will end, if it will end. Help us as your people here and gathered throughout the world to hear your good news that in the end you win the final victory. And right now where our focus should be is what we need to pick up, how it needs to begin today. Where we need to begin today to be more like Christ. Embolden us, Lord, to want to love like Jesus, to want to forgive like Jesus, to want to adore you like Jesus did his Father. Embolden us, Lord, to know that that is true manliness and true discipleship, whether we are male or female. Surrender to you represents the ultimate strength. So infuse your church with the strength of the Holy Spirit, that throughout the world, Christians, wherever we are, might surrender to your power and arise empowered to be the hands, the feet, the voice, the ethical decisions of Jesus this week. It is in his name and for his glory that we pray these things. Amen and amen. We have a ministry moment this morning. Pam Caserta will come and share about the Angel Tree opportunity.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Christmas is coming. My favorite giving time of year. And this year, once again, Aldersgate will have an angel tree out in the lobby. It'll be up next Sunday. And there will be many, many Christmas wishes and hopes decorating the tree. We are asking that when you see the tree, you might pick up one tag, two, as many as you'd like, no limit. And the second tag on the back, if you just fill in your name and phone number and put it in a box, that just helps us remind you in case you happen to forget. This year, we are serving four different agencies, and they are the Silence of Marys, which is an agency in Harrisburg that helps special needs children in the Harrisburg City, and there are all different kinds of wishes that they will have on the tree. Also, Shalom House and Bridge of Hope, they both help women and children that are in desperate need. They're either displaced due to abuse or economic situations, and we just help them with little items that could help with their daily lives. Also, Daystar Ministries, which helps men recovering from alcohol or drug abuse, and they just need a few little things to make them a little more comfortable. You don't have to wrap these gifts, you just put them in a gift bag, and we'd like to have you personalize your gift a little bit by putting a little note of hope, a prayer, or a scripture that is very deep to your heart. Just put that in the bag so that they can read that and just feel Christ's love through the gift. We'll have on there when you have to bring it back. It's not till the middle of December, so you'll have plenty of time. So please give to those in need and there are many out there. One more little note for a different ministry is the usher ministry, which is this core group right here. We have a group of maybe 20 or more folks that have been serving God's church for years, and they're a wonderful group to work with. And I'm just asking that if you come to 9:30 almost every Sunday, and you know how to smile and say hello to people, to talk to me after church, and we get you signed up with this group, and I think you'll be blessed by it, and you only have to serve 1 month a year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pam. And I'd also note that Pam just embodies the giving nature of Christ. She also facilitates the Dogs for God ministry. And there's information in your worship folder about upcoming dates for that. You don't have to have a dog or even be a pet owner to be part of that ministry to join them in their efforts and the visitations as marked there. Please note those as well. Let us offer for the ministries of Christ, God's tithes, and our offering.
The love I've ever found.
We're grateful, as always, for the gift of music and how God uses that to usher us into a deeper presence and reflection with His Spirit. As we come to worship here in the second Sunday in November, a couple of things I want to note before we look at the scripture and the message for this morning. One is Consecration Sunday is next week already, the third Sunday in November. And just a reminder for those who might not be aware, that's an opportunity when we come forward with a stewardship tour, a reflection card that indicates, in the coming year, Lord, you're directing me or challenging me or leading me to offer this amount for the financial support of the ministries of Christ in and through Aldersgate Church. We have really low-keyed that this year. We didn't even send a letter out, which we typically do from Stewardship and Finance and the pastor indicating the time to reflect on that. So there's no letter. There's no significant communication other than next week in worship. We will invite everyone that's gathered either next week or as soon thereafter as you're able to be present to surrender, submit a covenant commitment card. They are available as you head down the hallway just outside the sanctuary here to my right, and then straight out the door on your way out, you can pick up a card and reflect over that, how you would support the ministries of Christ here by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service. And gifts indeed include finances. We don't barter with cattle and crops anymore. We live in a culture and society where money is our means of exchange and also a means of conducting so many transactions. You may notice from week to week that the worship folder has a listing of where we stand with regard to offering year to date. At this point, we're about $25,000 behind where our giving was anticipated of being at this time of year. Our budget, our ministry spending plan calls for a little over $17,000 a week in offering. And for numerous years, we were blessed, at least 2 years, maybe even three, we had more dollars coming in by year end than we even had planned for. That allowed us to do about $350,000 in building and facility improvements. It allowed us to start and increase new ministries like Fall Fest, where we're pouring dollars into that in order to meet and welcome the faith community or the larger community into our faith community. It allows us to do grief share and divorce care and things like that, where we aren't asking people to put any dollars toward the resources used. We are a bit behind. Chances are we'll probably be equaled up toward the end of the year. But Staff Parish Relations Committee is seriously contemplating expanding the pastoral staffing at Aldersgate. We are a church that has over 600 members, and ministry staff and supervision with regard to that. And if we take that step, having cared for the facility, if we now take a step pastorally and care more focusedly for the body and the ministry here, it will require a stewardship step up. There's just no way around that. So we invite your prayerful attention to that in the coming week and days. I think this is the most detailed I've ever gotten in my 10 years here with regard to finances and giving from the pulpit. I don't do that lightly because I know some people are wired to walk out and say, he talked about money today. That's not my intent, but I would remind us that Jesus spoke about money more than he did anything else in Scripture, 30-some times. Compared to some of the issues we focus on, he spoke about zero. So it is something that invades our spirit because money becomes something that we oftentimes find security in and meaning in instead of our Lord and Savior and our God. So then, now that you got that difficult word, let's go to an even more difficult word. And that is on that same page where there are dollar figures and attendance figures, there's a note on an intruder response training. Who would have ever thought that the day comes when a pastor stands in a pulpit and says, we need to train our worship leaders, those on praise team and ushers and pastors present, that should an intruder come into this sanctuary, what we do so that we might maximize life and minimize death. We had this in the planning stages long before the Texas shooting and the other. Truth be known, Gary Lagore's among us has a great gift of helping out in this area. He's a retired FBI agent and now does consulting with regard to safety and community context. Gary has been encouraging me to get moving on this, and we had identified several dates, and then last week happened, and we actually identified a date almost simultaneous to that. So there is an initial session coming up the 30th of November. We're especially inviting anyone involved in worship ministries, whether you're here for three services at the sound booth or praise team or ushering, to come out and do that. And we extend that invitation to anyone else. Because if you're alive in this culture and in this time where it seems like people like to take guns and then make confrontation very unfair, someone has a semi-automatic or automatic, you know, weapon, and they're with a crowd of unarmed people, it's a pretty unfair fight, isn't it? And in the midst of that, Gary's going to help us focus on what we can do for life to maximize life and minimize death. Harken back to the days when I was a kid and we were taught stop, drop, roll. It's never left me. And even when there was a youth ministry event that years ago I was leading, and one of the kids' clothing caught fire by the fire pit, that came back to me, stop, drop, roll. Gary's going to help us out with that. So whether you're in a supermarket or a sporting event or whatever, just have a little bit of clarity in thinking how we respond to that. It's a sad statement to make, but it's where we are. And we draw your attention to that in these moments. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, it's so easy for us to declare the world is a mess. And indeed, in many ways it is. But we're reminded through Scripture and through the stories of the saints in the ages that the world has been a mess for a long, long time. And that you continue to be and are the answer. We pray, Lord, that in these moments, your Holy Spirit would invade our thinking, our hearing, and our spirits for response. That we might be a people who not focus specifically on how this will all end, but maybe how it can begin anew today with me, with us, with your people who know that you have died and you have won the victory. Speak to us, Lord, in these moments and fill us with joyful obedience in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Contentment in a discontented time. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, 1 the lowest, how contented are you as an individual, as a person, as a child of God, as someone who moves in and through this society and our culture? You know, contentment has a lot to do with our giving. Huh? Yeah, that's how God wired us and created us. God made us in His image, and God at His primary core has at His core being love and love that gives. When God gives, when God pours out Jesus, God the Father pours out the Son, and Jesus imparts the Holy Spirit, that is a giving agency of God. When God's giving agency in the Holy Spirit and in Jesus invests and invades our lives, that's a giving to us, and we receive it. And the contentment of a giver is remade in us as we become giving agents for Christ in the world. Contentment is opposite the restless heart. St. Augustine talked about each of us having a vacuum-shaped hole in our hearts, and there's only one thing that brings rest to that heart and contentment, and that is the Christ, the gift of Jesus. I'm reminded of a story that I saw years ago, I think 1995, Our Daily Bread. I pulled it out of a devotional. Up in a New England town, there's a lot of individual private enterprise fishing fleet operators, or basically a guy or a woman that owns a boat and has a crew, and they go out and they catch fish and bring it in, and that's their business. One of the high-level independent business owners up there in that boating industry was walking along the dock one day and saw one of his competitors there with his boat docked in the afternoon, and he was sitting on a chair just sort of looking out at the bay. And the gentleman strolling along said, "Hey, Jim, why aren't you out there fishing?" And Jim said, "Because I got a big enough catch for today." And the response came back, "Well, why don't you go out and catch more fish?" And the response came back, "Why would I want to do that? What would I do with all of them? You could earn more money, you could buy a bigger boat, you could go into deeper waters, catch more fish, maybe then you'd have a bigger business and bigger catch. What would I do with all that? What would I do then with my life?" He said, "Well, you could sit down and enjoy life then, once you had all that and you were rich enough." And he said, "Well, what do you think I'm doing right now? I'm sitting here enjoying my life this afternoon." You see, there's this tension between gathering to be secure and being contented to know you are secure enough in what you have in the moment. We Christians call it the residency of God in us, the breath of life. No one knows the day nor the hour. We're given a breath of life without our earning it and without any of us asking for it. And it resides in us to remind us that God is with us and God is the owner of our lives until He calls it home. And we don't know when He's going to call it home. It could be this afternoon. And we miss the joy and contentment that Jesus proclaims in the gospel He seeks to bring. That you may have my joy might be complete in you. You might have life and have it abundantly. People who have studied the human condition and the stressors in the human condition say that contentment is directly related to simplicity. Have any of you heard that more is better? Bigger is best? Well, it depends. If we get a cancer diagnosis and I have a lump or a tumor, bigger isn't best then, right? But more is better. If I just gather enough stuff, I'll be secure. If I just make enough plans, my days will be okay. But life happens. Simplicity argues that less really is more. Accumulating things beyond our ability to manage them adds stress, the conclusion goes. You hear that? Accumulating stuff beyond our ability to use it or manage it adds more stress. So is it possible that all the stuff and materialism of our culture that we pursue sometimes thinking this is going to fill the void or make me contented or happy, that those things that we're gathering might actually just be adding more stress? The answer to that, contentment coaches, there's coaching for everything these days. Contentment coaches say is the four D's. Downsize, delay acquisition, determine real need, and discipline yourself when you're ready to buy something and have a little bit of self-control before you do it. Now, I'm going to cover the mic a minute just in case my mom listens into the message online. We just moved my mom from her house of 40 years to a two-bedroom apartment. And she had more stuff than you can shake a stick at. More stuff than you can put in a big dumpster. And it didn't bring contentment. It brought a lot of stress, especially to my sister who lives closest and had to deal with all that stuff. It's easy for me to point at someone else. It's easy for me to see that in my mom. But you know, it's only been about 4 years ago, I sort of, in my own life, had circumstances occur. I sort of started from scratch. I had a chair, a bed, and a table, and a little black and white TV with an antenna that didn't really draw much in. I remember during a World Series going outside with an extension cord, taking this through the yard, thinking I might pick up Fox 43, and never did. And I thought, I just chuckled to myself and thought, I guess I'm going to learn to live without it. And I did. I turned the radio on and listened and fell asleep anyway. But I noticed that 4 years later, I'm accumulating more stuff.
Troy, your mom's on the phone.
Yeah. Mom, I'm in trouble. Although, those of you that know me well enough know that I haven't said anything to you I haven't said to my mom. In love. That was pretty good, Pete. I was worried the bishop was on the phone, but but stuff has a way of invading and getting us to miss the mark. Let's take a look at the words of Jesus. This is one of four parables that is only found in the Gospel of Luke. And they're called the exemplary behavior parables, big name that some theologians and studiers of Scripture added to it. But it's really saying this is the Christ ethic. This is the core of Jesus' character. That's how scholars characterize these four parables. And this one is pretty straightforward. Would you read it with me? The Word of God for the people of God and our voices reading it together. A man in a crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to give me my share of what our father left us when he died." Jesus answered, "Who gave me the right to settle arguments between you and your brother?" Then he said to the crowd, "Don't be greedy. Owning a lot of things won't make your life safe." So Jesus told them this story. A rich man's farm produced a big crop. And he said to himself, "What can I do? I don't have a place large enough to store everything." Later, he said, "Now I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones where I can store all my grain and other goods. Then I'll say to myself, you have stored up enough good things to last for years to come. Live it up, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool, tonight you will die. Then you will get what you have stored up. This is what happens to people who store up everything for themselves, but are poor in the sight of God. Who will get all your stuff? The dumpster? The good earth? Have you ever noticed how some people's treasure really is another person's junk? It's like, why would I want this? This has no meaning to me. Jesus didn't mince any words there, did he? They have a relational issue. And what caused the stress in the relationship? Stuff. And he says, who appointed me to settle your relational arguments? And then he goes to the root of it, as Jesus often does. He says, there was this man, and we hear the man's internal dialogue. He raised crops, and he got them, and where do I put all my bounty? And then he built bigger barns, and eventually Jesus says, you fool. You don't even own the breath of life that you're breathing. And tonight, your father is calling it home. What's all that stuff done for you? Who's going to get it? How has it secured you? Jesus is saying, you've loved the wrong thing. You pursued the wrong thing. You thought peace would come in the wrong thing. You fool. Tonight you die, then who gets all you stored up? This is what happens to people who store up everything for themselves, but are poor in God's sight. What is richness? What brings richness in life? Jesus warns against greed and the abundance of things that aren't the right stuff to focus on. Do you find yourself in that parable anywhere? Or is it just a distant story? Do you find any disconnect in that parable with this guy who's relying on God's good earth and all its nutrient and the rain of the sky and all its nourishment and the sunshine that coaxes the plant forth? And this guy actually has the audacity and the ignorance to think it's all his stuff, he did it just because he participated in the planting of a seed. That's why I love to hang around farmers. I love to hang around people who till the soil because they realize that they're just participants in a much grander, greater thing. And it's not about what they've done. It's what they participated in, and it grows their attitude of gratitude. Amen. An attitude of gratitude. A lot of times what lies at the center of our need to accumulate stuff is to feel secure or successful or significant. And God sent the Son to say, I want you to know how secure you are. You proclaim my Son, and it is done. It is finished. As far as the east is from the west, so far your sin is removed from you. That's how secure you are. Success, significance. Jesus said, love one another as I've loved you. Do these things and you will glorify the Father. That's a successful, significant benchmark, don't you think? And it's not a benchmark that you can put in bigger barns. We're secure in more material things surrounding us. Now, this is not beating up on materialism and material things. It's natural to have those. You can show creative craftsmanship and ingenuity in material things. It's not that. It's really a question of, say, who you're worshiping. What are you worshiping? And it's even deeper than that. It's saying, what's your soul really yearning for? And where are you finding the answer? I've told this story once before. I think it's been quite a few years. But when I was a kid, I basically was a fisher boy, a fisherman. I'd load up every day in spring and summer and head to the creeks and the rivers with my buddies and sometime by myself with my fishing pole, and I would catch sunnies or rock bass and sometimes smallmouth bass and bring them home, and I would help provide food for the table that way. There was a lady down the street. Her name was Mrs. Black. She was in her late 80s. I was probably maybe 10 years old. And she was dirt poor. The neighbors knew it, and they cared for her, but she was a sweet lady, a gentle soul. And I remember Mrs. Black telling me one day, when I must have been telling her I went fishing, and she said, oh, what did you catch? And I said, mostly rock bass today. She said, oh, my mouth waters when I hear rock bass. My husband used to do that. I love rock bass. They're my favorite fish. Well, good for you. And I went on my way. Yeah. I said, oh, Mrs. Black, that's nice. So anyway, I went fishing. Later, I mean, it wasn't days or weeks later. It was maybe a month or two later. I went fishing, and I caught me some big rock bass. Look what I had done. And I was going to go home and had them on stringer and clean them and consume them and brag to Dad when he got home. And something on the way home, I think it was my first experience of really understanding what being remade in God's giving image is. Somewhere on my way home, as I looked at those rock bass dangling from that metal stringer I had, I had about 12 things on that stringer, and sometimes I would fish till I could fill it all up. This day, it wasn't that. It was just probably only two nice-sized rock bass, and my mouth's watering. If your mouth doesn't water when you look at a raw fish, you really aren't a fisherman. Because my mouth is right now, tasting that rock bass. But going home that day, you know what came to my mind? Mrs. Black talking about how her mouth watered for those fish. And I went to her door. And I knocked, and she came, and I said, Mrs. Black, look, I went fishing. And she said, you only caught two. I said, yeah. She said, well, they're nice size, Troy. You're going to have some good eating tonight. And I looked up at her and said, no, Mrs. Black, these are for you. You're going to have some good eating. And she just erupted with joy. And I remember saying, I'm going to go home and clean them up and I'll bring them back to you. And I remember the next day she came and said, I fried those up. They were delicious. I hadn't had those in years. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because for me, it was the first time in my life that I really was cognizant that I could get more joy out of giving what I thought I wanted than consuming it myself.
Amen.
It was a Holy Spirit moment. I'm convinced of it. Because Jesus comes, by then I already said, I love Jesus, I accept Jesus as my Savior. But that's just the beginning of the journey. God wants to recreate us. And one of the joyful things of being recreated in God's image is we learn that in giving, true giving, not giving to get, but giving just for the joy of giving, brings contentment. And when a contented life breathes the breath of life, their significance, their success, and their lifelong legacy is beyond anything you can get through a transaction, because it impacts people constantly. We live in a society, in a world that is so discontented. And I wonder how much we in the church offer a different picture of contentment. That you can be content. 1 Timothy, Paul writes, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, it's on the front of your worship folder, and we can take nothing out of it. There's a story about a lady who was married to a greedy, miserly husband. Penny pincher, controlling, and he was just looking to get and take advantage of people to get more and more money. He told her, he said, I got three pillowcases in the attic filled with big dollar bills. And on my way out of this world, I'm taking them with me. And she would just like grumble and dismiss them. He died. His breath was demanded of him. And after the funeral service and burial, she thought, I'm going to go up in that attic and see if he took those. Went up, and the three pillows are still there, and she said, I knew I should have told him to put them in the basement. He could have taken them a lot easier in the direction he was going. You know, what we do with our material things really speaks of what we're doing with the breath of life God gives us. I want to show you in closing two things. One is a contentment prayer. Today you can sign up for Jesus's contentment bonus buy program. And it doesn't require your email even. All it requires is if you're willing to say this prayer. Adam Hamilton wrote this prayer a few years ago when he wrote a study called Enough. Lord, help me to be grateful for what I have, to remember that I don't need most of what I want, and the joy that is found in simplicity and generosity. You could put this on your key ring and just see what God might do with it, how God might orient or keep you focused. During our closing song, if you want to enlist in Jesus' bonus buy program, you don't have to buy a thing, just come get it. The other thing I want to share with you is a video that a dad did and put on the internet with his children. He was concerned his children were becoming a bit too materialistic. So he thought, I'm going to be creative. I hear them speaking as though something new will make me well. It'll bring me happiness. Or I need to buy something new today, or I want more stuff. So he used a modern ditty, contemporary song, and he wrote new lyrics to it with the chorus that says, "Hey, I just thought this. Maybe I'm crazy, but I need to show contentment, baby. I'm glad for what I have." Let's lower the lights and take a look. This is a dad's teaching of his kids.
Wish I had more stuff to sell. Something new will make me well. New clothes or perfume will smell really good on me today. Won't someone grant my wish? Money can buy me this. It will bring happiness. I just need more today. New thing I was holding. Big fit I was throwing. Parents' money I was blowing. Want it so bad, but maybe. Hey, I just love this.
Offer yourself and the gifts of your life into the hands of God and receive the gift of contentment as you count your gratitudes, your thanksgivings, and see what God does with your life and your legacy, all to the glory of Jesus. Won't you rise as able as we sing? And again, if you want to get one of these, come on forward and grab it.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am alone, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I come to die, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can.
You can have all this world, but give me